Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well. We push pause on the recording, eat two pizzas and two salads while watching the movie. Thank you, patrons. Then come back for a second half of the show, reflecting newly on the just watched film. What did we get right and wrong? How does it hold up in this day and age with the blazing eye of the current era? My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie, this very special episode.
What's special about it?
It's the first episode of the new year, my good man. Oh,
clang, 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 clang. Noisemaker, noisemaker.
What day is it today?
Why, it's January 15th, young man.
Wait, it's we're doing the opposite of the actual story,
aren't we? You get a goose, and you get a goose.
Okay, sorry. I screwed up your rhythm.
Haven't even gotten to, we're not supposed to do bits until we get to the movie title.
Fine. Yeah. What's the movie?
Have we all said our names?
Yes.
Okay. Our movie, this very special episode, is True Lies.
Wow. Oxymoron, maybe.
Yeah,
right?
That's the joke.
LOL. Yeah.
Is this a comedy?
Sort of. We'll talk about it.
An action comedy
I've seen.
I saw it also.
I've never seen this movie, and I only know one thing about
it. What is that?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes. You got it.
Yeah, nailed it.
Number one with a bullet.
That's all I got.
I mean, that's call sheet.
That's most of the pitch of the movie, honestly.
Okay.
Like.
Yep. And Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. Lee Curtis. Whoa. Tom Arnold.
Yes.
Whoa.
Bill.
The daughter is someone.
Is she?
She was maybe in Buffy as like the new cool moody vampire hunter girl.
What
was her name?
I don't
Dushku.
Know.
Dushku. Eliza Dushku.
Oh,
that's my bet.
Okay. Write it down.
Wow. Incredible.
Thank you.
There is an adorable tiny dog.
Is there?
Yes, because there's there's a great scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger is out walking this little tiny dog, and it looks very funny.
In the rain.
Yeah, because he's very frustrated.
Size difference. Yes. Bill Paxton.
Oh my gosh, star-studded.
True totes heads who've been listening from the very beginning, we are finally getting to the movie that has one of Dan's favorite line deliveries in all of cinema.
I got a little dick.
That's right. We're there. We did it. We made it.
I'm sorry, what?
It'll make sense in context.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of.
And Bill Paxton delivers it beautifully.
Yeah, Dan's bet that I feel like we're already touching a bunny. Bill Paxton's gonna fucking crush it. Like, he's not in the whole movie, but the scenes he's in, oh, just a delight.
Yeah.
So good. I saw this movie in the theaters.
Wow.
I think
I did too.
Do you want to put a year on that viewing experience?
Ooh, I would love for other people to chime in first.
Interesting. I wonder why.
I am going to say 93.
Wow.
And I immediately regret it, but I won't tell you which direction I regretted it.
I'm going to say, oh boy, I feel like this is a movie. I'm pretty sure I saw this in the theater, but I'm pretty sure that the reason I saw it in the theater is because I went with an adult.
Sure.
My dad, because this was hard R.
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I don't see how it could be, right?
That's a bet. We never bet on the rating.
That's true. We don't. Hard R, I'm saying.
They don't tell you if it's hard or soft when you turn on the TV.
I would say soft R. I mean, I don't think it was PG-13. I don't think it was meant to be like for teens. But I mean,
R-rated movies are secretly for teens, right? Because that's where the money is.
Teens have money now?
Well, like they like your parents who have to accompany them take the teens.
Oh, so
the parents are buying multiple tickets.
It's like how I went to Interview with a Vampire with my folks and some of my junior high school friends, and that was an uncomfortable experience.
Oh, yes.
It was a pretty sexy movie.
I see.
Oh,
sure.
Dear. There's some sexy stuff in this
there
movie.
Is, which yes. I'm sure was Young uncomfortable. Dan.
Oh, really?
May have had an awakening.
Oh, my goodness.
How old were you when you saw this movie?
I don't know.
Well, according to you, it's in 1993, so you would have been what?
That was 11. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but we watched this a lot on VHS in our home.
Mm. Okay. So if I'm pretty sure I saw this in theaters, and I went with my dad, which means I wasn't old enough to go myself. That would mean it would have to be at least, but I also have to be old enough where my dad would be like, this is a bad idea, right?
Right.
Because like my dad would definitely like just let us watch it because he wanted to watch it. But there was certainly a threshold, yeah. Right? Where he'd be like, well, no, this is not for children. So I must have been at least, I'm going to say 97.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I don't know. Sure.
I like the spread.
Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to place this because, yeah, like I graduated from high school in 92. So anything after that or anything like after college years?
You hated.
No. Well, college years, I was a snob about most things. But you know how time blends together?
Oh, yeah.
Like you can really remember the difference between 15 and 17, but like 24 and 26, it's a little more blended. Okay, I'm just going to make
how much you pay for a rental car.
That's what? True. Getting to be 25 was a big deal.
25, no more extra fees. Sure. On
25
car.
Is like, and sometimes just to be able to rent a car at all, you could not rent a Mini in or any kind of car in Ireland that's until right. you're 25.
Yeah. Your frontal cortex is fully developed then.
Yeah, and it's like the last milestone that's like celebratory. Yeah. After that, you have to wait to be like AARP.
Yep.
Yeah.
Celebrate your celebrate AARP your membership.
AARP membership. Nice. Where was I? Okay, for fun, I'll just say... I'm going to say post-college. I'll say 98 for fun.
Wow.
Wow, I love Whoa. It. Beth, do you want to guess what this movie's about?
Or a year.
Or both.
I think this movie came out in 1991.
Wow.
I like it.
I do
like
too. Bold. Well, it's one of those things where it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger was around for so long.
Yeah.
Like he's had such an extensive career and most of that career was just being huge.
Yeah, and this being is like put somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Like it's not early. It's not late.
Yeah.
Where was Freaky Friday? What year was that? Do we remember?
Ooh, that had no to have been idea. After this.
I feel that's, like that's after
that this. Had yeah,
I
feel to like, have been
I kind of
this.
Wonder if this wasn't Jamie Lee Curtis's big entry back into movies.
She for sure like blew up, right? Mm-hmm. Like her participation.
Because she was in A Fish Called Wanda.
Yes.
Yeah.
But her participation in this movie was for sure like a conversation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because she was wearing lingerie.
Very vulnerable.
Yeah. And I think at the time it was like, she's not 20 yeah. and she's wearing she's lingerie. Like, I'm sure she was like 30.
Right.
It's probably not a big deal.
Yeah. Oh. It was like a very.
But it's a 90s movie, so she'll look like she's probably 50.
Or at least at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. When she's just like a regular working mom, she'll like, they'll yeah. dress her where she's like.
Ooh, should we give Beth a chance to.
Yeah, sorry.
What do you
okay,
think?
Okay, so now I know Jamie Lee Curtis at the beginning of the movie is a regular working mom.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, because Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, it's an action movie, probably. She's shooting guns.
I love this bet.
Yeah.
Great
bet.
They're a couple.
Okay.
And they have a kid.
Why do you think they're shooting guns?
Maybe he is like, okay, there's also True Lies. There's a secret.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So
what
maybe
do you think
he,
that secret is?
Maybe he's like, he's actually... an agent of some
okay.
sort
yeah.
that she
sure.
doesn't know.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Would you say a secret agent?
He's a secret agent.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then maybe at some point she figures out that he's a secret agent. And then there's something that like, if there's a daughter, maybe the daughter's in trouble.
Oh shit.
Ooh, you got it.
And so they have to like join forces.
Yeah. I'm trying to be vague about this. And you're
protect.
Just over there like reinforcing
well,
everything.
Billy Paxton's what's the first half going to be for Beth? Just like, I still don't know anything.
Fine.
Billy Paxton is the villain.
Well, you know, he has a little dick.
Oh,
or at least he says
what
it. He says that he does.
He already
or,
said it.
Or maybe he's like a friend.
Okay.
Maybe he's the comic relief.
I just believe kind of. He's probably a more well-rounded character than just
know,
that.
Man.
I don't know.
I don't know.
These are all good
guesses.
Do you
guesses.
Need
more? No.
I don't know. I feel like you're...
These are great.
These are great. And I mean, okay, fine. Yeah. You pretty much are crushing it in
really?
Terms of your prediction of this
yeah.
movie. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Arnold
I guess
is,
I do know how movies work.
I feel like yes. how does Jamie Lee Curtis get sucked in? So she thinks her husband is boring.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a...
He's like in computer sales or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Like, and that. She makes the joke like, anytime I can't sleep, I just ask him to describe his latest conference
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Because he swings so hard the other way for his cover. Right.
Okay.
So like, as far as she knows, he's like the, this is what I love. It's another one of those hilarious movies where you cast on Schwarzenegger. It's like, the idea is that he's like the most boring suburban dad, but he's also this massive Austrian man, right? Yeah. Like, even though he's so boring, he's still like barely fitting into his business casual wear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something happens, and I can't remember if it is maybe the bad guys or someone convinces her that she's like an FBI informant.
She definitely like gets thrown into the mix.
Yeah. You know? But she doesn't know about her husband yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
She is like, my memory is that she is like doing her informant thing and then they end up bumping into
There's
each
other. There's a whole
tell you everything about that.
There are hijinks.
No, I mean, okay. We can at least some.
There, let's just say there are multi-layered hijinks that bring her into the fold.
Yeah. How do you remember it so well? Because you watched it multiple times.
Lot.
Okay.
I definitely really watched this a ton. Yeah.
Yeah. She gets sort of fake pulled into Spy World, but Arnold thinks she's really pulled into Spy World.
Oh.
Because that's basically Bill Paxton's line. He's like pretending to be a secret agent,
yeah,
but he's just a shitty used car salesman.
But he uses it to get bored housewives.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
He says at one point, the vet gets him wet.
Ew. Okay, yes, so he is not rules. A well-rounded character. Okay,
no,
got it.
Not at
got
all.
It. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is... Speaking of her actually getting pulled into the real world, I want to take a bet that every element of Arnold and the organization he works with is going to be extremely dated and problematic.
Yes.
I feel like there's going to be like 8,000 Arab people getting just blown away indiscriminately without any character development.
It is 100%. There are Middle Eastern terrorists, yeah, and that's bad.
Basically the story. Yeah. Yeah.
And they've got a bomb. They have a dirty bomb.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely going to be like, there's going to be one guy who, again, like many Arab American actors, is just getting that paycheck, who like actually has something of a personality.
And I think he does a good job.
I think he does do a good job, but it's also a bummer because like, he's like the one character who is fleshed out. And then it's just like a bunch of extras who are mostly just there to get like murdered by Arnold Schwarzenegger or the American government.
There's a very cool chase scene where our antagonist jumps a motorcycle off a rooftop and Arnold tries to get a horse to jump off as well.
This, yes.
Molly,
every,
I'll leave that there
every
for you.
Element.
Oh no.
As, okay. If you take the overt problematic racism out of this movie, every sequence that involves those characters kicks ass. Like, this is a great action movie.
All right.
But you just have to like, I don't know. I feel like in 2025 eyes, every time it's like, oh, that's a bummer that it's just like this vaguely.
And I'm assuming we're not going to love the way Jamie Lee Curtis is treated.
Probably not.
Do
At least
get
part
past
of it.
The Bechdel we'll Wallace.
I mean, they have a daughter.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that they talk to each other, mom and the daughter.
That's fair.
They have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Now, do you say that? But we see movies where that does not happen.
I know, but like if we are under the understanding that the daughter gets put in danger and Jamie Lee Curtis gets pulled into the madness, at some point she will have to see her daughter in the madness, right? And they'll be like, Mom. And she'll be like, Jamie Jr., I'm helping you.
I understand.
Wait, I don't know if Dan was done yet, Molly.
Yeah, I know, right? I couldn't get a word in. No, Dan, I understand how movies work, and I understand how the Bechdel-Wallace test works.
What if our listeners don't? Well,
oh, in that case, I should just let you know that the Bechdel-Wallace test is the most minimal test in the world, where two named female or at least non-male characters have some sort of conversation with just two lines of dialogue aimed at each other.
Yes. Aimed is
aimed
a good
at each other, and it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to build on it. It doesn't have to be complimentary. They just have to say words at each other. And I feel like in this movie, it would be entirely possible for it not to pass the Bechdel-Wallace, even with what you're setting up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just feel like we've been like sometimes we're just totally surprised.
Right.
Yeah.
And other times I'm just like, I don't know. Minority Report comes to mind, where it's like, really, you have so many main characters who are women, and none of them talk to each other.
Yeah. Right.
And if Arnold Schwarzenegger's the big deal, like you can see.
Sure.
You know, but I'm hoping for at least a mom.
The bridge is out. That's this movie.
Yeah.
That's a good Arnold line.
Nice. Wow.
Because they're freaking, he's a fighter pilot shooting a bridge. Cool.
Does he have any, like, is that the only line in this movie that he has that's memorable?
No, for sure there is at least one line at the end.
Kill line era Arnold. Kill line era Arnold.
Yeah, this one definitely has a famous, like, basically DVDs worthy kill line, for sure.
And what is it?
You're fired.
That's right.
Oh.
I remember that one.
I can guess what's going to happen.
I don't know if you can.
Yeah, I think you'll get in the ballpark, but I don't know if you'll actually guess what happens after he says that.
He loses his job.
Yeah, it's directed at Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
He's the guy in the van.
Yeah.
He's like running ops or whatever it's called.
He's the man in the chair. The micro for our Marvel Comics nerds.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other women. I think it's mom, daughter.
There's definitely Tia Carrere is in this movie.
That's right.
I think
right.
She's like a criminal element.
She is an arms dealer.
There you go.
She's like the American contact for the bad guys.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
I forgot about Tia Carrere.
Yeah, so she probably only talks to Arnold and the bad guy.
And then there's confusion over whether Arnold is like cheating on his wife with Tia Carrere. But I'm undercover or whatever. Under the covers. I don't know. That was more vampire.
It always does. It always goes there.
It always goes vampire. I want to go back to Jamie Lee Curtis, though. I'm curious how we'll see. I think it's very legit, Molly, to be worried about how she's treated. But
yes.
I think she has a substantial arc.
Yes.
And I'm kind of curious to see how that pays off. Because it might be good.
Yeah.
What if it's good?
What if?
What if?
What if?
Have we considered it could be good?
Now, is this one of those things? So she thinks he's boring.
Yes. Yep.
Are they like just kind of not attracted to each other? And then all of a sudden they start shooting things. And then that's when the lingerie comes out.
I think the lingerie comes out as part of the undercover
hijinks.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But they definitely are like, I mean, they are in a pretty, I don't know. Their marriage is kind of like, not great.
Yeah, and I think probably Tom Arnold has some jokes that we won't like about how they're not banging.
It'll be like Tom Hanks' partner.
He won't be as delicate as Dan.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Turner and Hooch. Yeah. Of like, oh, you got to
hump the van.
What do you say before that? You got to get capital R.
You got to relax.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever.
But it'll be Tom Arnold, which means it'll be like more crass. Probably.
Yeah. Also, it will be a bummer. The scene where that they reignite their passion is going to bum
everyone else.
But that's the scene where a preteen Dan.
Okay.
Wow.
Really had his eyes opened. Yeah. I mean, I love this movie. I watch it all the time. It's like the action's cool. It's
so
pretty
cool.
Funny. No donkeys for Arnold, but like he can carry a comedy role. Like he's he can do it all.
He can do it all.
I don't know. I got lots of details I could share, but maybe
let's just save it.
Okay.
It's not really bets at this point, right?
Yeah.
Aww.
It's just you reciting what you know about the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's gotta be some vulnerability in a bet.
Ooh, I will bet that there is a character actor we will enjoy that plays his boss.
Oh.
Right. There's gotta be just like some like head of the agency, right?
Oh,
who's
like
just
Dabney
like some
Coleman?
Cranker. Yeah. Some cranky older guy. Right.
Probably. Yeah.
Write down Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
Solid bet. I love it though. I love it. If it is, we'll lose our minds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will never stop screaming.
Yeah.
Do we?
I think the government overreach will also bum us out.
Mm.
The amount that they use secrets and government resources for their own personal vendettas.
It'll just make us think too hard. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My bet is that there's going to be a sweet guitar riff.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that bet.
Oh, is there going to be any saxophone?
I hope
so. Okay. I'm going to bet saxophone.
I love all of these bets. This movie was directed by James Cameron.
Oh, that's a new fact for me.
Yeah, which is part of the reason that it kicks ass.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Because the dude knows how to stage an action scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That true lie, more like True Lies, but the S is a dollar sign, right? That's him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Does anyone else feel bummed out that he decided to just go all in on Avatar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even watch...
I've never seen it.
The second one.
Way of Water?
The Way of Water, sure.
I also never saw it.
Me neither.
I miss so many crossword answers because I haven't
seen
it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Naru, right?
I guess.
Naboo? Or is that Star Wars?
Naboo is Star Wars. They're the Na'vi.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Na'vi. Na'vi.
Oh, it's the papyrus poster. Papyrus?
Papyrus, yes. Papyrus.
First time I was like, oh, I don't understand words
anymore.
You know
that famous sketch where Ryan Gosling screams papyrus?
Yeah.
If you don't know, this is a treat for our listeners. If you don't know what we're talking about,
I don't.
Google Ryan Gosling papyrus. It's a real delight.
Oh, that's news to me.
The second one is mid, but the first one is incredible.
Okay. Yeah. It's accurate too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe one of Ryan Gosling's best performances. I'll put that down.
Ooh, I don't know. That's hard to say.
I guess if you're big into the Catholic Church, you can Google Papist.
What?
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay, good job.
Molly, how should we rate this film?
I'm working with ingredients. I haven't put it together yet.
You want Dana to keep talking about sweet things that we think happen in this movie?
Yeah, I got some more.
Teen Dan Vampire.
Teen Dan Vampire.
Wow.
Huh. Which Dan?
The one that was a teen.
Oh, well, that wasn't me. I was certainly.
They were both
a teen.
Dans. Both Dans.
And two vampires?
Dan Pyres.
Is it just Dan Pyres now, or
just
is it
Dan
still
Pyres?
Teen's mm-hmm. gone.
Teen is gone. Just Dan Pyres. Dan Pyres.
We're not teens.
Not teens.
I mean, Dan Pyres sounds like an improv show we would have done.
For sure.
We already did a Werewolf in London.
Yeah, and we did that one where we were hot dog salesmen who were also vampires while being in drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
And I kind of always want to be a vampire.
Yeah,
in
we know. Well, and even on this podcast, your Arnold Schwarzenegger just subconsciously slowly drifts into vampire.
Yeah.
It's fair.
So this is us?
Yeah.
Like the two of us as vampires? Like
they had this been bitten us. By That's vampires, and now they're actually vampires.
They're actual.
Are we still podcasting?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Pull
we just
case.
Record at night.
We already do that.
There you go.
Wait a second.
Freak.
So Dan and I, here's a question. Did we become vampires after we already started the podcast, or is this Dan and I just like trying to keep ourselves occupied as we live this curse?
I think it's just how you keep yourself occupied.
So we do another podcast. That's just us, vampire?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What?
Totally.
We do a second podcast that's just us talking about being vampires?
Well, I'm assuming that it starts after Molly and I are no longer around because we're not vampires.
Which means that Dan's whole thing about how tired he gets around midnight is just a bunch of true lies.
Wow.
So now we're saying that the vampires in the rating system are Dan and I continuing to podcast after you're both long dead.
It's the number of podcasts that you continue to make.
If
between
you're
0 and 5.
Like different shows or like episodes?
Different shows.
Oh, because we got so much time.
You've got
so much time
eons.
On our hands.
Yeah. And we, for sure, at some point in living this curse, got Beth to teach us how to make a podcast, right?
Yeah. It gets easier. After
I would imagine that first season is you trying to figure out how microphones work.
Yeah. We keep getting our fangs
exactly.
stuck on the pod.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Totally. Because we can't do the cool, like, retractable thing. You guys just never look at our mouths.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because why would you? Disgusting.
Yeah, don't look at my mouth. Gross.
No, I can't stop.
Oh, no.
Well, Dan's always goes first.
Yeah, me go first because me, eternal darkness, Satan's whatever.
Okay. I can change the rating scale.
It's too late.
I feel like
it's
might be uncomfortable.
It's too late. I'm a Dracula and I'm podcasting. I think this movie, as an action movie, like, you know, divorced from everything else, including reality and historical, just history, I guess. I think this is going to rule. But I do think I'm going to be bummed out about the way the villains are portrayed, because I feel like this is going to feel as if it was made after 9/11, but it wasn't, which almost makes it more of a bummer because it's like it was already so deeply ingrained in our culture before we like before we sort of became like the, I don't know, like the thesis statement of our culture for a good decade after that.
Yeah.
Mm. This is in the 90s. So it's like, clearly that was already just kind of, nobody thought about it at the time either. I'm sure some people thought about it.
Yeah.
I can think of a very specific subset of Americans who thought about it for sure. But I think it's going to be pretty funny. I remember it actually being pretty funny. And yeah, there's going to be at least one sequence with a horse that's going to rule. So I'm going to say, an apologetic 4.
Okay.
And see if it bums me out enough, if the problematic elements bum me out enough to lower the rating.
Great.
Thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Beth, you are second, as we all know.
We all know this. You know what? I'm just going for it. I'm going to say 5.
Yeah.
What? Yeah!
I love it.
Dan is so excited about it that bold I year, just feel year. Like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I hope that I am just thrilled by the entire film.
This is shocking.
Swept away.
Yeah.
A person who rates 2.5 as the actual middle of between 1 and 5, going for a 5 is astonishing.
It's exciting.
It's yeah. incredible.
Well, it's not the second half yet. We'll see.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Dan convinced me of a 4 as he was talking, because I also think it's going to rule but bum me out because racism. But yeah. then Beth buoyed me up.
You got the Beth buoy.
I got the Beth buoy. So I guess I got to say 5.
Okay.
I'm excited. Yeah. Very good chance I am going to be quoting lines to myself right before they happen.
Okay, good. I'll turn my hearing aid off because you sit usually on that side of me.
Yeah, I watched this a lot. Loved it. It's like action comedy. That's like, that's my favorite type.
Yeah, thing. And it's got that line of yours that you love so much.
Bridge it out.
No, the other one.
You got a little dick.
Yeah.
Do it slowly. Do it. Do some more.
That's that guy. One.
Yeah. 5. I'm going to say 5.
Okay.
Molly. Molly, the finale.
Oh.
Why have we never said that before?
I don't know. Wow. It just came to me now.
New year, new incredible catchphrases.
Well, I have also been buoyed by Beth. I will take a slightly bolder stance than I intended to and go 4.5.
Wow.
Oh, no. What's half a...
Yeah, what's half a Danpire?
Just one of you was out sick.
Yeah, solo episode.
Solo episode.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Or we get a guest, maybe someone.
Sure. Yeah.
Werewolf or something.
Sure. So, or something. Oh,
watch the fireworks from that.
Jerewolf.
Right? Aren't werewolves and Jeremy vampires... Werewolf?
What?
What's a jerewolf?
Well, I assume it's just a werewolf.
It's your friend Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Jerry the werewolf.
Okay,
Or Jeremy.
I thought it was Jeremy. But
or Jeremiah.
Okay.
Check out season whatever of Queer Eye on Netflix right now.
Okay.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch True Lies, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the center of the podcast.
Ooh.
I like that.
Yeah, it's the creamy center of the podcast.
Nougat.
I thought
new
you said
year, new get.
Yeah, there it is.
Now I hate it.
I'm here to tell you about telling your friends things. Have you ever had a conversation with a friend and you're looking for things to talk about?
Yeah, we record it every month.
Wow.
Wow.
Why not, in the middle of that conversation, mention to that friend your favorite podcast, Totes Recall.
Oh,
that's a great conversation starter or continuer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they mention they're interested in anything, it's pretty easy to steer the conversation towards Totes Recall.
Yeah. Molly, you want to give us a quick example?
Sure. Ask me anything.
Hey, how's your car? Is it still acting up weird?
Oh, man. I tell you what. It's acting up as weird as the car in Back to the Future, which I recently listened to an episode of Totes Recall about.
Wow, what's that? Tell
Did
me everything.
Did you know they've covered more than 150 films? Probably one of them is your favorite. And it's just like, it's a pretty chill podcast to have on in the background. Just 4 friends talking, making jokes.
Okay, sounds great. All right.
Don't worry. You can get it anywhere. You get any kind of podcast. You don't have to go to a special or weird place. But if you want to start somewhere neutral, you can just go to totesrecall.com.
Okay, great.
Anyway, it's been really great talking to
you.
Yeah,
good catching up. All right.
So good.
I'm going to the cashier now that we're in a grocery store.
Oh, hey, Molly. Funny to bump into you here at the grocery store. I was just getting some mixed nuts for myself to snack on. God, it's weird. There's so many peanuts in here, right? They're like not even a nut. Isn't that funny? They're like a legume or something.
Oh, man.
But all these almonds in here, which are definitely nuts. I love the almonds.
Okay, we got to talk about droops, my friends. Okay, I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. But first, I'm just going to say you need to go to patreon.com/totesrecall.
Is that the
URL? And scroll for a real... Well, then there's a .com at the end. And then just scroll for days and days until you get to a droop conversation, and it will blow your mind.
There's probably a search bar.
Oh, there probably is.
Great.
Thanks. Thanks for coming back into the conversation.
Yeah, we're checking out.
Sorry. Who are you? Hi. Are you friends with Molly too?
Oh, yes. Oh.
Beth, save us.
Well, what an excellent example.
Don't
of
you want to live
how
that
you
yourself?
Can have a conversation with your friends.
But very normal.
Yes.
But very seriously. Mm. Telling your friends about our podcast or a podcast that you enjoy is the best way for people to find out about
it. It's true.
So, spread the love a bit. Tell your friends about podcasts that you like, including this one, hopefully.
Especially yeah, tell them to put down the political podcast for just a little while.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, true crime's over.
Now it's time for true
lies.
Yeah, the movie we're watching.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now back to it.
Oh.
And we're back. We just watched 2 hours and 20 minutes of stunts and so much broken glass.
Yeah.
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 Necks.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what the joke was that we thought was funny. We couldn't remember just a second ago.
Let's jump right in. Yeah,
jump right in. There's a great scene where he's looking. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay. Is looking through binoculars and does not like what he sees and grips the binocular so tightly that one of the binocular glass things in front shatters.
Oh, that's really good.
It was it was like the most cartoonish and the most fun.
He's mad because he thinks his wife's being unfaithful
with Bill Paxton.
But she should be mad at him.
We'll
get into it.
We'll get very deep into it.
That wasn't a line though. You said there was a line you liked.
Yeah, there was some stupid joke and I enjoyed it.
I mean, there's many. In the movie. So maybe we'll come across it.
I'll think of it.
Yeah.
I won't think of it.
A movie that came out in 1994, True Lies. Wow. No one bet, but I was closest.
Okay, we don't have to like it so particular.
That's why people tune in to the broadcast.
They want the details.
They like release year.
Who's the winners?
They only want to know when was the movie released and who got the closest. And then they turn off the podcast.
And they would like to hear 1 minute of synopsis.
Yes.
In a segment we call 60 Second Summary.
Six tripping
six,
over
some.
Myself here.
Yeah, what's happening?
I don't know.
Has it been, we skip
really
it
not
two
being
episodes?
A Sigma. You're a non-Sigma male. This is a new Gen Alpha term
what?
I just learned.
Sigma? Is it good or bad? Sigmas are good.
They're like popular, confident people, usually men.
So of course. It's not like Alpha six Sigma. Or...
Maybe.
You're not Alpha, you're not a Beta, you're a Sigma?
Sigma, yeah.
What is it? Okay.
What if you're an Omega?
Like Omega like Force.
Like Omega Sector.
Sector, that's what it was.
That Arnold work for. Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Arnold.
Whoa.
They could have done that in the credits. Yeah. Like put just one Arnold. Anyway.
They already had the title that was true that then flipped to become the word lies.
Yes.
Excellent title card.
Excellent. The tradition on this podcast is that I volunteer to do a 60-second summary. And I'll do it.
Of course you will. You remember this entire movie before we even watched it.
I dare
but maybe
you
it's
begin-
more fun if someone who's never done it has done it. Does no?
No.
Beth? You want to do it?
I did it in the last episode.
Molly, you want to do it?
No.
All right. It's
you want
a
me
two,
to do it?
It's a 220 movie, so there's some challenge there.
I have to begin with we open on.
Okay. What do we open? Okay, I remember.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
We open on Lake Chapeau, Switzerland. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a spy. He is in a wetsuit, and then he takes off, and he's got a tuxedo underneath. And he does some spy stuff. And then he got to get out. He blows up some gas and fights some dogs. Then he's a boring guy at home. Jamie Lee Curtis is also a boring housewife. Arnold is investigating terrorists.
30 seconds.
Oh, no. Then there's a big chunk in the middle where Jamie Lee Curtis is being... The game is being run upon her by Bill Paxton, who's pretending to be a spy but wants to just get in her pants. Arnold almost threatens to kill him. He says, I got a little dick. Then we jump back to
10 seconds.
The main plot where terrorists have nukes. Arnold and Jamie Lee Curtis shoot a lot of guns, and there's a lot of sweet explosions. The bridge is out.
Time. The end. The end, no. That was the whole point, is it wasn't the end.
Oh, I had one more segment.
Yeah, let's give him. We'll give him an extra ten seconds.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Then the big bad guy steals the daughter, and they climb around on a plane, and you're fired. Then epilogue.
Time. They're both spies. They're both spies. How you
yeah.
say?
Yeah. 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 Very good. Fair.
Yeah.
A lot happens in this movie.
I would say that's like 100% Utah.
Thank you.
I might just mention that they kidnap his daughter.
Yeah,
I got and there's that. A whole scene that's just on a fighter jet. What do they call those?
They're Harriers.
The Harrier.
In that particular jet.
That's a type of fighter jet. Yeah.
There's many.
You don't
USA,
have to like
USA.
Explain a lot. I was just.
I mean, they specifically call it out in the movie, Molly.
I think it's because for all the nerds are like, oh, airplane can't go up and down like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like a Harrier can. Probably.
Probably.
Is that a real plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. And it can do that?
I believe
yes.
so.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes, I believe it can.
Yeah.
It just looked like one of those like jetpacks, those like water jetpacks.
Oh,
what I'm
yeah.
talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, I think it's the same principle.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there's just yeah. all kinds of
if you work
that
for
happens.
A defense contractor raking in billions every year, give us a call. Actually, quit your job and go into, I don't know, public housing
yeah,
or something.
Work
and
for then, a food shelf or yeah, something.
Then call us and explain to us how any of that works.
Also, check out our Patreon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're getting that missile money.
Oh, should we have a Halliburton tier?
Oh, God.
I really doubt anyone involved is listening to our podcast.
You never know.
You know, you probably need to relax after
anyway,
a long
what were you trying to actually talk about?
Yeah. You know, I was personally watching this movie as an adult, and yes. I realized I probably saw it when it came out in theaters maybe one time on cable. And then now, so it's been a couple of decades and I am now peek behind my curtain. Don't dox me, a parent. And watching that whole segment with his daughter being in real danger. I didn't even remember that. Like that didn't even faze me when I watched it as a younger person.
Right.
But it's all I can think about now.
Mm.
And it's so terrifying to me. Like,
yeah,
I think that you should like if you do have kids start. Having them do just like bent arm hangs, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's
work on
what we
that
learned.
Grip strength.
Yeah.
So you can hang from a crane and mm-hmm. then a Harrier.
And mm-hmm. as a parent, you need to get flight training.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in case.
And yeah. you got to know how to operate a gun at least enough to like drop it.
Right.
And have it just efficiently take out an entire army yeah. of people.
Drop it down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about Jamie Lee Curtis. We'll talk about
yeah,
this, but
we
yes,
will.
Please do. If you have a child over the age of 6 months, it's time to start training.
Listen, mm-hmm. they have like Ninja Warrior camps now. There they you do. Go. Perfect. It's fun, but also they can learn how to hang off stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Double whammy.
Yeah. It'll be useful at some point.
Honestly, it would. Like, not in the dumb ways we're talking about, but like, it's good to have some upper body strength.
Oh, for sure.
Is your house lights on fire or something?
Yeah.
Climb
or
out the window.
You just want to do rock climbing with your friends.
Or if you just have to like pick somebody up because they like fell over and it's icy yeah. out, or yeah. like they fell in front of a bus
oh.
and you're like, oh shit. And then you pick them up to get them away from the bus.
Or you're trying to jump a horse off of a roof,
yeah.
but
yeah.
then the horse stops.
Because of course it does.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the behind the scenes of that horse stunt?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we want to give a little context?
Yes.
I will. Yes. Okay. There is a lot of chasing of terrorists. In one such chasing of a terrorist, the terrorist is on a motorbike.
Yes.
And obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger finds a Mountie and takes his horse.
I don't think we call him that here.
Oh, well, you know.
What do we call them here?
It's a mounted
we call them mounted police.
Yeah. Metro police officer.
But we don't, you know.
Cavalry?
But also, I just want
to can't
say,
give it a cute name because we're America and they're a lethal force, Beth. That must be respected.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger just taking things yes. from people yeah. and just screaming, I'm a federal agent. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. Although even in that situation, like it's the same thing as like when shitty SWAT teams just yell warned as they smash through a front door yeah. and like destroy yeah. someone's entire life.
Yeah.
Because he said like federal agent in pursuit and still just kind of yanks the dude off the horse.
Oh yeah. yeah. And that poor horse, like horses have like thoughts and feelings and preferences too. And yeah. this horse, he gets on the horse, he takes off all kinds of antics. They go in all kinds of unlikely places. And
yes.
you think, I've seen a motorbike and a horse going through the lobby of a hotel. I've seen everything. Yeah. And no, you have not.
Can we take a quick moment to appreciate the saxophone player?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
From that sequence?
Shout out to the saxophone player. Someone, maybe Beth, bet that there would be sax.
I know that was Molly.
Okay, it was
winners right. are
guitar
very
riff. Beth yeah. bet guitar riff,
which yeah. there also was.
Kind yes. of,
sort of. Most in both cases, the answer is kind of.
Yeah, most of the.
Oh no, there was so much sax.
There was definitely like you saw a saxophone.
You saw yeah. a saxophone. There was sax even before then. There oh. was massive sax throughout.
No, that wasn't a saxophone.
Yes. What was it?
It was like a trumpet or something with like one of those mute things on it.
I mean, I know one character that was bringing a lot of sax appeal.
Ayo!
We'll get to it.
But we're talking about Tom Arnold.
Yeah,
Christ.
We're talking about Tom Arnold. But Brad, whatever his name is, who did the music.
Fucking crushing it.
It's mostly muted trumpet.
And synth.
And synth stuff.
And like a nice walking bass line a few times.
Oh, so much bass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when they're in the motorcycle horse chase
yes.
through the hotel, the motorcycle zips by a little lobby jazz trio or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the saxophone player doesn't quite know what's going on.
He kind of like, follows what? The bike, but he's a pro, so he keeps
yeah,
playing.
Yeah. yeah. But then the horse goes by, and then big old comedy squonk yeah. off of yeah. the saxophone
LOL player. Squeaker.
yeah.
Comedy squonk.
Yeah. you know. Horny?
yeah. Anyway.
So yeah, you think you've seen everything
yeah.
and then the motorbike gets on one of those elevators with the glass
yes,
edges.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger remains mounted on the horse
of course.
And gets into the parallel elevator.
Mm-hmm.
They do some A+ glaring at each other.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. yeah it is Fast and Furious level.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I didn't believe that scene.
The glaring?
No, I didn't believe the elevator scene.
In what part?
Because the tonnage would not work. And because it's ridiculous
because
to take those
there's
things with
a couple
you.
In the elevator.
Oh, yeah. yes. Yeah. The horse
and
elevator.
The horse elevator. Arnold gets into the elevator on a horse and says, like, press the top yeah. button.
Brandishing a gun, by the way.
Yeah.
The
same, yeah. Yeah, with a gun.
Yeah.
And they stay, the couple presses the button and then stays in the elevator.
You know, it's especially puzzling now that we're talking about it that they didn't get off the elevator because that had to have been their stop. Right?
Because the door was open. Unless they just walked in.
The door was open because they didn't stop at any other floors along the way.
I mean,
they were not en route.
The door opens and a horse starts coming on the elevator. I feel like this, I'm going to give some grace to this couple and say there's not a lot of, you're freaked out by a horse coming on the elevator. Mm. I don't know if you have your wits about you enough to be like, I got to get off this elevator. Yeah. Just like, got to back up.
Also, let's consider, I'm going to.
And we get a good comedy line.
We do. Let's consider though, there's an elderly couple. Right. Mm-hmm. In 1994, at least one of them probably grew up at least in some part of their life in a rural environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They know in the back of their mind, the back of that horse is facing the door and it's probably pretty spooked because it's on an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk to the door and that horse, like the motorcycle makes a sure. popping noise, I could get my rib cage shattered.
Yep. Yep.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. But yeah, the LOL line is she says, Harry, say something.
Which also
whatever.
Like. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What's he going to say? Like, get off this elevator, yeah. you hey. Horse.
In the middle of the two floors.
Yeah. Hey, here, you've stepped on my lady's foot.
Yes, pardon me, sir.
But he says, what a fine steed you have or something. I'm sure you can
that's
quote
a,
it,
that's
Dan.
A fine animal. Fine animal. And then yeah. the horse whips her in the face, LOL, with a little horse tail.
Yes.
Yeah.
They finally get to the top floor of yes. this fancy hotel.
After glaring their way through the hotel.
Where I wanted to start the story. Uh-huh. And they finally get up there. And the motorbike realizes it's like a lose-lose situation. The terrorist on the motorbike. So he spins around, works up a lot of power.
A lot.
Sufficient to break through the glass barrier.
Yes.
That surrounds the top of the building and travel all the way across like a four-lane road underneath yeah. and land in a pool on the other side.
Yeah.
yeah.
I believe it's that rad. Was the first of many moments in the movie where I just put my arms up and went, yeah!
yeah, it ruled.
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger decides that he's going to try it with this horse, which is
so
completely reckless and so rude.
Anyway, he's like, from Omega Sector.
I understand, but this horse
isn't.
Is not. The horse is a metro. I mean, this horse is used to like... giving a respectable distance to protesters,
right.
not used to
clearing
and so
homeless encampments,
and in the most honestly,
yeah. yikes.
Yeah, probably,
okay,
yeah, probably yeah. It's DC.
I would love to finish this. It's been a while. I keep getting interrupted.
Dinterrupted?
Yes.
All right.
The Dans both went in for a high five, and Molly just put her hand up and then took it back because she just realized what was happening.
Well, because Dan was giving a high five to Molly. I was trying to get a high five from Dan, and then Dan chose my high five. Well, because
Molly didn't seem like she was going for it.
Unclear.
Well, I tried to just get a go around. Yeah. I mean, it worked.
Yeah, everybody's high-fiving right now. You can tell it's still going because it's coming what seemingly is, of course, different sound, different points in the room. You can tell. Yeah. You can tell it's from different parts of the room.
Spatial audio.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a quadraphonics podcast.
Yeah, I hope everybody's wearing their headphones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, should we move on?
No! The most believable, accurate thing that happens in this entire movie is that the horse balks.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it?
Why? I mean, horses balk at like jumping a tiny fence. Like they can balk for any reason, and certainly jumping off the edge of a building.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole scene with like, anyway, we work it out with a horse. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger's a little rude, but okay.
It's an LOL comedy moment.
I had him.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on them, and then you.
Yeah. It's true. He does address the horse like a colleague, which I did respect.
Yes.
Yep. But also, you just let that horse pull you up by their teeth.
Dude.
Yeah,
maybe
that
give
is
him a
rude.
Carrot first exactly. before you like give him a third degree.
Very real.
Like maybe go back down to the lobby and be like, get this police officer a carrot.
But apparently when they were filming it, they were actually 90 feet up.
Oh. What? Why?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger was actually on the horse. I don't know why. This movie exceeded $100 million. I don't know why they couldn't do something safer, but this is what they had set up.
Okay, it's a James Cameron movie.
It's so a James Cameron movie. Yeah. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is on the horse, and a boom mic hits the horse at a moment the horse is not expecting it.
No.
It starts to buck and spin around wildly with Arnold Schwarzenegger on it.
Yikes.
He immediately like finds a way to fall off the horse, gets caught by a stunt person, and then another stunt person is able to stop the horse and everything's fine.
Gosh.
So he's like, yeah, I really appreciate stunt people. Like,
yikes.
And you can tell in a few scenes that it's definitely not Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like
On the horse.
Yeah for sure. But that is a very dramatic moment and is a positive for the stunt team. Later on, I have a bummer negative.
Oh.
I'll hang on to that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the worst kind of teaser.
Yeah.
Anyway, that scene rules.
Yes, it does.
It comes after a bathroom fight scene, which also rules.
Which, like, I feel like that may be one of the, like, primary forces of action film, right? If a fight is going to take place in a bathroom, it's probably going to kick ass.
Yeah, that's really true. Like, there's a Mission Impossible
where Henry Cavill cocks his own arms.
That's right.
Maybe one of the best part of that movie.
Yeah, I think it's because it's like the colors are really stark. Like, it's mostly whites, right? So you can really see the people.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of hard objects to break with people's heads.
And that one was especially good because they almost immediately break one of the lights, so it starts to strobe.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's like water everywhere, and it just added a lot of
ambiance. Yeah, if that scene had happened in a movie like maybe even 5 to 6 years later, a techno beat definitely would have started as soon as the light started strobing. Yeah.
But as it was, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the also most realistic moment in the movie, is he pulls a dryer.
Hand dryer
directly off the wall.
Yeah.
You know, he's committed. But I don't know. I had mixed feelings. Like, I get the LOL comedy of having an elderly gentleman reading the paper while trying to just sit on the toilet and do his business.
He's just trying to get something out.
Yeah. And all this mayhem happens around him, including like just literally shooting up every single stall.
The dude had great instincts, though.
Yeah.
Like, he knew to duck down as soon as the gun started firing. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a miracle that he didn't die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine coming to that crime scene as a real police officer? I'm like, how many shell casings would there have been?
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think like he's an old spy? Like, how else did he survive?
Like, he's got
that.
The training. Here's what I think happened is that he got lucky first. Mm-hmm. The first answer is he got lucky.
Okay.
But the second time, when Aziz is like, he's come in with the most egregious open carry weapon of all three of the terrorists that follow Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The size of the guns that they bring in under their jackets are insane.
Like, and they pull them out way too early if they're trying to like be discreet as they follow him.
Yep.
But like, so he's like, you know, he fires across all of the stalls and starts kicking them one by one. And I think because Arnold is a pro, as he gets close to the old man, that's when he like catapults himself out of the stall at the end and slides through the toilet water.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but truthfully, it was on the other side.
Oh, was it?
Of the panel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we would have seen the man's legs.
Oh, right.
Well, he has legs up, right? I always thought Arnold jumped out because the terrorist was about to find the old man.
I thought
it
was
like saving him, like timing it.
That's
that way.
Nice, but I think it's like a classic.
She
like,
might be right.
I think like, you're right.
Because there's stalls
sinks
on,
in the middle and stalls on either end, and he had crossed over to the other
I think
side.
That's right.
And they wouldn't shoot it, so it would be the stalls would be on different sides of the
right. That's true.
Frame.
It's James Cameron.
Mm-hmm. It's also an extremely.
He's not gonna fuck it up.
He
like
knows
that.
About the 180 line like or whatever they call it.
Extremely large, like stadium-sized bathroom. I don't know how that fits in with the overall hotel plan.
It's the Marriott.
Oh, that was still like the hotel? Conference center?
I think so. Oh, no, that was at the...
I thought it was like a mall.
Yeah, that was like the Georgetown Markets or something.
Yeah, maybe
so
a
maybe
mall
it could
bathroom
serve,
is that big.
You know, hundreds of consumers every day.
Yeah.
And then one, I assume, like assistant manager of the Cinnabon or whatever, who just needs a goddamn minute.
Yeah. He's on his break.
Yeah.
The only time he gets to his day.
I know.
And now he's like traumatized, probably. I would be.
Yeah.
That's... terrifying.
Yeah,
that would ruin my life.
It's very funny.
That's fair.
It's very funny to me that the one time they like, okay, so the movie opens, right? He's in Switzerland or whatever, and like everything goes crazy and things blow up and all this shit.
Explosions look great in this movie.
Great explosions, Cameron.
So egregious, incredible.
Yeah. So then that they go into Omega Sector, which rules that it's called that. Period. Yeah. And then we learned that his boss is Charlton Heston with an eye patch, which was the greatest office chair turn reveal I maybe have ever seen.
I kind of thought it might be Charlton Heston based on... Is it Charlton?
Yeah.
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 What is that?
Like Charleston Chew, but without
Charleston
the S. Charleston Chew.
Based off of the credits at the beginning.
Yes.
It was like, oh, maybe he's going to be the boss. So the reveal of that, of him as the actor...
Yes.
But the eye patch.
Oh, baby.
I was so excited.
It was great. We also do start that seed.
Right.
Zoom in slowly on the boardroom. Francis, that'll be all. The one woman gets up and leaves.
Yeah, he's like, we don't need you
We don't
anymore.
Need you anymore. The one, Maybe the one woman of color who even works for that department.
Yeah, immediately dismissed, reluctantly leaves, rough. And then they're like, all right, let's talk real terrorism stuff.
Yeah. And yet... Bechdel Wall's pass.
It does.
Mm-hmm. At least mom-daughter.
Mom-daughter for sure.
Helen and Dana.
Yes. Mm.
It is not an extensive conversation, but it does pass.
Dana, that's disgusting. Whatever she says. Something sassy.
Whatever. Something sassy.
And I think it passes during Lady Fight as well.
It probably does. There's,
oh, right. Yes,
there's
does.
A tantalizing scene where Jamie Lee Curtis's character has a colleague.
Oh, right.
The only other person of color, I think, in the entire movie who's playing a terrorist. Yeah. And
they have like
never
extensive
gets a name.
Conversation.
Extensive conversations. Yeah. Her best friend. Never once does she have a name. And
she
then,
comes back, too. She's in a couple scenes.
Yeah. Never.
Didn't even give her a name.
I mean, they mostly talk about men, I guess. But
but
still.
Come on, give her a name.
They did say something about lunch.
And she also said, like, get some for me.
Which
and is not technically a sandwich.
About, yes, of course.
I don't think so, Molly.
Can we jump back to Charlton Heston quickly?
Thanks for explaining that to me, Dana.
Here's what I was trying to get to.
Okay.
What? Sex?
Yeah.
Okay. fuck.
Charlton Heston.
Yes. Okay. Here's what I love. I love how like his whole scene where he's like, it's the classic, like the chief, like you guys are on a whatever. And he's talking about like what an absolute disaster the Switzerland mission was.
Yeah.
That's the one time we see them face any accountability for their actions. Despite that being the only huge massive explosions that don't happen on U.S. soil.
Oh, yeah.
Like they fuck up a hotel. They fuck up a Georgetown Market bathroom. Mm-hmm. You never get like a quick scene of Charlton Heston being like, ah, oh, geez.
Yeah. They're doing unauthorized wiretaps 20 times a day, they say, including on their own family members.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
We got to talk about how messed up all that is.
Yeah. I think
before we get into it, please. So that our listeners don't become so enraged. They cannot hear anything anymore. On the plus side, I will say of Jamie Lee Curtis's character, she generally has a ton of agency, yes, a lot of savvy, and is showcased in a far more complete way than you might imagine based on everything else we're about to tell you.
Yes.
Which Agreed. Is the way she was horrifically manipulated.
Yes.
Based on a guy feeling cuckolded.
Yes.
Yep.
And losing his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Related to that, from our text-based chat platform Discord, we have a question for Fra.
Okay.
How incredible is Jamie Lee Curtis's range?
Oh, my God.
I remember her playing the shy housewife and seductress secret agent very well.
She fucking crushes it in this movie. Every scene she's in, like whatever she's so supposed good. To be doing, like whether she's like the super awkward, just like, you know, very mousy glasses legal assistant or whatever, to the rightfully enraged, unjustly imprisoned citizen of the United States.
Yes.
Yes. In a, her physical in a windowless
room. Oh.
As she's dropping an Uzi down the staircase. Oh, it's incredible.
So good.
Yeah, she's great.
There is not a moment in this movie where she's not perfection.
Yeah. She's fucking, at one point she just like rolls a tear at the perfect moment.
Yeah.
There is a monologue.
Yes.
Teens, if you do Forensics League, dramatic one act plays, that kind of thing, I highly recommend taking a look at her monologue.
Absolutely.
She is wrongly and weirdly imprisoned by her own husband and being interrogated on the other side of the two-way glass.
While using a secret slush fund of our tax dollars. Oh,
it is outrageous. And being asked very probing questions that are none of anybody's business.
Which, again, to her character's credit, she is like, reacts in a correct way, where she's like, what, how, you know, why are you even asking me that? How, that's none of your business.
And it's amazing because she reacts with all of the horror and sadness and frustration that you would imagine.
Yes.
And yet it is not so real that you... takes you out of the movie. You know what I mean? It's not like an Eric Stoltz portrayal of Back to the Future guy.
Yeah. Is that why they fired him? Because he was
because he was too real. He was like, this would be so freaky.
I see.
He was playing it very, very...
like he was too traumatized.
He was absolutely traumatized because as you would be by time travel and seeing your parents that way. And they were like,
and your hot mom.
It's supposed to be a comedy. Right. And he just couldn't pull it off. So that's why they got Michael J. Fox, who's a comedic actor. Anyway, Jamie Lee Curtis does it all.
God,
incredible. The monologue, which should have been a throwaway pile of garbage... I'm going to say not the most incredible writing. Oh my God. She
elevates.
Yep.
She elevates it.
Mm-hmm.
Does a very compelling striptease.
She fucking goes for it.
Interesting. How compelling you found it.
But like, can we, like, just to give credit or credit to you, she fucking goes for it.
I mean, that physical comedy wise, like the when she starts doing that dance is so funny.
Yeah. Oh, the little just like, and
meh, she like meh. Does like a little like her arms roll a
little bit. So good.
And that, but
which she apparently anticipated that, but not anything else when he had the bitter Frenchman record dialogue for him.
Yeah. But I think I do. She does weave back between like sensual and comedic.
Yes.
Like, gracefully, so and it's so good. Effective. And I am shocked how many times I watched this with my brother and father for how sexy that scene
is. It goes on for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And there's not like a break for the comedic moments very often.
Not really. There's like where
she does fall.
Which is so good.
And she pops up so quick.
Yes.
I was like, that's incredible.
That's what made it so funny is like she's so, like she's trying so hard that she like recovers. Like she's, her adrenaline is so high.
Yeah.
Because at this point, as far as she knows, she's like entertaining a dangerous arms dealer or whatever.
That's right.
And not her creepy husband.
This, it's so bad from a marriage level of like, all right, I think my wife's cheating on me.
Tap her phone.
I'm going
to ask a question.
No.
Ask her about her day.
Resources.
Yeah. Be vulnerable.
He did ask her about her day.
Oh, not in a sincere way.
That interrogation scene is very frustrating to watch because it's like, do you still love your husband? It's like, just face her, you coward.
Right?
Like he had to mask his voice and his face.
It's almost like he's such a brave agent of the Omega Sector. But when it comes to family life, he is just a scared little man.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
He's got a little D.
Got a little
for
D.
emotions.
Yes. He's got a little D of emotions. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch, though. I was infuriated. Well, it was so satisfying when she does finally catch on and just clocks him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like later, but in the hotel
Even in the interrogation, though, when she just fucking wails on the mirror with that stool, that ruled.
Yep.
Yeah, right away, you're like, she was definitely scared at the beginning of that scene, but she stands up for herself immediately.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Which is great, because as far as she knows, this is like a black box wing of the government that could just disappear her without any consequences.
They don't even explain, like, when she's running, when they, like, I don't know. I don't know how much of this is described to you, but there's a moment where she is with a used car salesman pretending to be a secret agent at a, quote, safe house,
Simon.
Which is his actual trailer. Drinking out of an acrylic plastic goblet.
Bill Paxton is so good in this movie. He is so perfect at playing just like this pathetic sleazeball.
What a creep.
So oh my God.
That
it's
mustache.
So good.
Everything. His performance is
it's
like,
incredible.
It is incredible.
The
and you
face.
Hate
yes.
him.
No, he's the worst. Yeah.
He's the worst, but it's so funny. He's so ridiculous and pathetic.
He is a cartoon creep.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
and he nails it.
All the way down.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there is no dimension beyond.
No.
Yeah. It was really incredible. Anyway, there's a moment where she's getting seduced by this creepy salesman.
Yes.
And not having it, by the way. But anyway, this creepy salesman, they slice off the end
yes,
of
ruled.
The entire trailer and SWAT people start coming in.
Yeah.
At no point does anyone say, federal marshals or
they don't need to.
They don't. She has no idea who they are.
You know what? They probably can't say it because it's an off the books operation.
So for all she knows, she gets grabbed and forced into a white van.
Okay, hold on. But before she gets in that van, she fucking whips Tom Arnold in the nards
sure
and it rocks.
Yeah. No, and she, I think she hits
Tom
her Narnold. Husband too, right?
Yes.
Oh, the Arnold Browns.
Sure. Love that.
Right.
Yeah. She hits cause no, he grabs her and then she bites him and he goes, and makes an Arnold noise. And then she runs and then another random agent butts her in the back of the head with a gun. And then Arnold immediately punches him, which was a good bit of physical comedy. Cause they're just, you know, training kicks in.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, we're just...
The rest of the agents don't know that they're capturing Arnold's wife.
No,
oh, that's right.
They just think like, this
suspect.
Is an op with, with baddies.
They left some
but
other...
horny baddies. Because remember, the helicopter pilot's like, oh, yeah, her head's in his lap. Yahoo.
And she was not doing anything.
No, she was being manipulated
and
once
you know
again.
What? Even if she were, this is a travesty of failure of marriage and a failure of the United States government.
I mean, absolutely. Like the fact that he could assemble that many resources,
including a helicopter
for like a clearly like extremely illegal operation.
Nobody asks any questions, but she doesn't know where she is.
No.
And at no point do they say even, and not until the end when she gets cut a deal,
right.
which is like, you can either go to federal prison and never see your husband or kid again, or you can help us. And she's like, gee.
Her sassy response is so good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Arnold's just piling it on, right? Like, he got his, my wife still loves me.
And didn't sleep with Simon, the whatever.
So he's still a strong man, and he is secure.
Restored.
His honor
slightly
is intact.
Larger D.
That's all he needs.
But then he, like, ratchet up. She wants a little adventure. Like, it's mean.
Yeah. But, like, what was his plan? Yes.
Because... what ends up happening is they're in the hotel, but Dan is paying attention.
Yeah, so she's been told that she is.
No, I said that was weird.
Yeah, she's been told by her handler, that is just Tom Arnold with a voice modulator, that she is portraying a prostitute that is replacing the usual prostitute or whatever. And all she has to do is she doesn't have to sleep, you know, she doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to do stuff in teen terms. She doesn't have to do stuff with him. But she has to drop the bug on the nightstand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's her mission. She knows this.
Then he tells her
Wait, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to do to you what these terrible Dans did to me.
Wow.
But I just want to, can we just talk about the
flower water?
The dress
and
the flower water?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm supporting you, Molly.
You are.
For, again, another...
giving permission where it is not needed.
Another, like, ridiculous part of this whole, like, illusion they've created, right? Where, like, this robot government agent is talking to her. Like, literally her instructions are just like, go to this hotel, dress sexy. Yeah.
She has a black dress with, like, kind of a lacy arm, like, sleeves and, like, a ruffle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she... before she goes into the hotel room, she rips the sleeves off and the ruffle.
All the fringy and the stuff.
Yeah, the ruffle on the bottom. And she pours water from a flower vase into her hands and then slicks her hair back. And Molly made an excellent point about this.
I mean, first of all, let's give her credit. It is sexy. She's a looks pro. Great. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, that water was probably just so disgusting.
So nasty.
Probably.
If you have had flowers and water for more than 10 minutes, it gets oily and greasy and in decay.
There might even
stinks.
Be some like...
It smells like death.
And there might even be some like fertilizer dissolved in there.
Yeah. And it's just like through her hair and it's just, it's so uncomfortable.
But also, get it, girl.
Yeah.
But also, I guess a man wrote the script.
I mean, yeah. Well, yeah.
I think one man wrote a script... based off a script that three other men wrote.
That's
and
correct.
That was based on a French film.
Really?
That came out completely separately. So,
interesting.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
True.
At any rate, so I'm sorry. I did not. Once again, we'll get back on track.
She does her thing in the hotel room. Mm-hmm. He plays a line from the tape that says to lay on the bed. And she's like, oh, you said that you just liked other things.
Yeah.
Then he... takes a rose.
I have a question when you finish.
Okay.
And I mean, at this point, I feel like this is the scene where we have the most questions.
Yeah. Rubs it on her face.
Yeah, sure.
And then starts to kiss her. Mm. And that's when she grabs the old telephone and smacks him in the head.
Yeah.
It's not but that like, old. What do you mean an old telephone?
It's from the 90s.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's not like a
it's a heavy
iPhone.
One.
Like the teens are thinking about.
Oh,
it's
I
a
see.
Landline.
Yes.
It's like a type of telephone that gets plugged into the wall. There's like a wire.
Oh, for our teens?
And it goes, into the wall. You pick it up.
Well, okay, here's what I mean by it, though. It's not like one of the, when I was a kid in the 90s, we had like a wireless phone. Mm-hmm.
These were the kind of phones I had in my house.
You had like a rotary phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had big,
heavy
phones.
My dad was a frugal man.
Yeah, nice.
All right, well, anyway, the point
I will say, at this era
classic
in hotels,
style phone.
It was an old heavy phone. I will say, typically in these hotels, they had
those
corporate
flat ones, right?
Yeah. But you know what? We suspend our disbelief because we cannot wait for her to beat the shit out of her gross husband.
Yeah.
It rules.
Okay, so he starts to kiss her. He tells her to close her eyes.
Ugh.
At any point in time, she could have opened her eyes and seen that it was him.
Well, he told her to close her eyes.
So what was he going to tell her when she opened her eyes?
This is what I wonder.
What was the plan?
In hindsight, I'm like, was he so overcome by how sexy she looked?
Oh, that he wasn't
that he went off script.
Oh.
And just indulged himself in this idea that she was going to be like,
But the line on the bed was on script.
Yeah.
That was pre-recorded.
By Jean Paul or whatever.
Jean-Claude. It's weird.
Jean-Claude?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about him.
It's weird to, I mean, that's so vulnerable. Lie on the bed and close your eyes. Like, no, thank you. That's not romantic.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I guess if you like knew that you were part of a play.
Right.
But not knowing, and actually one of the best lines in the whole thing is the French guy who records all this dialogue is like, this
so
is
good.
Shit.
I love how they show him, specifically show him in the recording booth, just sucking down a cigarette. Like there's smoke kind of coming out of every hole in his face while he sexually delivers these lines. Yeah, he just like steps out, it's like, who wrote this shit?
Harry? C'est la merde.
Oh, the best.
It's shit in French.
Yeah.
It's so good. That's his one line. I mean, his one line that he's not being, that's not coming out of a tape recorder later in the movie.
Ugh.
Incredible.
But yeah, what do y'all think? What do you think the rose situation was about?
What was the plan?
I think he has like kind of a rose fetish because the rose comes back later too.
Yeah.
But like the tango.
And that's why he liked the flower water.
The flower water on it. That's what
it is. So that's when he drops.
I know what turns a man on.
That's when he dropped
base
the
base water.
Because she's been married to him for 15 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's when he drops the tape recorder, is when he smells that flower water wafting across the bedroom. What was the plan?
I think Molly's onto something. I think the kiss was off the books.
Okay.
Maybe he was going to rub her with a flower.
No. Here's what I think. I think the lie down and close your eyes was so he could bug out of there.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And he's going to leave.
And then she puts the bug on the bug.
And then she's too horned up. Thrill. Yep.
Yep. This is what I think.
Okay. We know he's horned up because he drops the tape recorder.
Which is actually
and gives
good.
Him like that's pretty, comedy eyes.
It's pretty funny.
Okay,
he's,
good
he's
point.
He's funny in this movie.
He is.
Yeah.
He can do it all.
I mean, he's no Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, not even of course close. Not.
He does great though. Like the... We should acknowledge, like, that's a great point. Like, this movie does such a good job of utilizing Arnold Schwarzenegger's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many scenes where it's like, it's either just him glaring or whatever. And then there's, when they first cut into Simon's trailer and he comes in and, like, he fell over, like, onto Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, it just, like, zooms in on Arnold Schwarzenegger wearing a balaclava, but, like, it's lit perfectly so you can still see, like, his rage-filled eyes coming through the mask.
Yeah, or at the very, very end of the movie where they're playing
Thumb War. What was happening to him?
He's happy father.
He's, like, the happiest he's ever been. Yeah. Like, I'm worried he's going to have a heart attack or something. Terrifying.
Life is great now.
But, yeah, there's so many shots of just him glaring at someone.
Yep.
Like zooming in slowly as he glares across an elevator or glares from the cockpit of a jet.
Lots of glares from his arch nemesis too.
Yes.
Also very good glaring. Aziz, I believe is.
Yeah. That dude had, speaking of like incredible facial reactions, that dude was like, at first he's just very, he's what you'd expect in a movie like this. He's just like, he's a guy. He shouts in Arabic. He says some things that actually made some actually pretty good points about the U.S. in global.
Yeah, I was. Events. Anyway,
but
other
then,
than like setting an entire island on fire, yeah. Like it kind of.
But like his opening is just like, "Oh, you kill all our women and children, and we're the terrorists." You're kind of like,
I feel like America wasn't quite ready to hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also like it was, they wrote it in probably because like, that's like, oh yeah, that's the rhetoric they use all the time. Why is that? Do you suppose?
Ah, they're crazy.
Yeah. Whatever.
Wackos.
They just hate our freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Sorry.
This is honestly,
I'm going to get arrested like, and taken to a black ops
center. Honestly, like there was a point in the movie.
We
like,
love freedom.
Like literally like right around the time that they were just like, yeah, just wasting tax dollars to just fuck with Bill Paxton. Like, I actually, like, wrote down, because I just, like, the thought pattern, it's like, it is incredible that this movie was made before the Patriot Act, right? Yeah. Like, they're just like, oh, yeah. They could, because at that point, I'm just kind of like, if this had been made in, like, the 2000s, I'd been like, yeah, sure. It probably wouldn't be that hard.
Yep.
Just, like, get a quick form. Get a quick signature from Rumsfeld or whatever. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
This is 94.
Yep.
You think Slick Willie's signing off on
We gotta protect Kuwait, you know.
Yes.
We gotta protect the people there. That's what we care about.
Anyway, the Aziz, the main villain, the head of the terrorists, right? So like you realize later that like that the reason they hired him was like because he also everybody has range in this movie because there's a point later, he already thinks Arnold is dead.
Yeah.
He blew up another incredible explosion. He blew up like basically an entire, I don't know, truck of gas barrels that may or may not have already been on that island, unclear.
Yeah.
And he assumes he's dead. And then suddenly Harry Trasker or whatever just appears hovering in a Harrier jet. And he does this amazing, just like, kind of face. Yeah. And it is beautiful.
He also falls on the airplane at the very end, the cool ending airplane fight scene, gets his Buster Browns wrecked by the tail fin.
Great face there too. There.
And again, like almost like a cartoon. Yes. Like his eyes should bug out. And then he gets, at the very end, he gets trapped on a missile.
Yep.
Arnold says, "You're fired."
Incredible.
Shoots the missile into the enemy helicopter through a building that
he'd already destroyed.
He is so lucky that that helicopter was on the other side of that
and
building.
And he was lucky peak that 90s. That floor held up.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking that too. I was like, essentially cut that building in half.
Excellent construction.
Windows, yeah.
I guess like, American and there wasn't made. Very much drywall. Do you think it was like an open office plan?
It seemed
maybe?
Like it like just started being remodeled.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
That makes sense. They did have the classic guy who's just cleaning the office.
Oh, he's dancing. He's shaking his rump.
Having a great time.
Doesn't even notice the jet.
Just backing right through the window. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. There were some moments for sure.
Definitely.
Almost everything Tom Arnold said, though.
A little much.
100% trash.
A little much.
He used the B word several times.
Yeah.
Like, he's supposed to suck, but also, like, he's supposed to be funny in, like, a 90s way, right? Where it's just like, ha-ha,
like
what
the Andrew Dice Clay era. God. Like, what was happening?
Yeah, the low-key race, not even low-key, the racism of this movie was what I expected.
Yeah.
The toxic masculinity was way higher than I thought.
Yes.
Than
it's straight-up misogyny.
Yeah.
Like, he says the word ditch, the B-I-T-C-H.
Yeah.
With anger.
It's very off-putting when you spell these words to me. I'm just saying, I get it, but it's also like...
I just don't want to repeat it. It makes me mad.
Yep. That said, when he talks about how his ex-wife took the ice cube trays with her, that was a pretty good line.
It was a good line, and yes. I would have too.
Yeah.
I absolutely would have taken those ice trays.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Hardman was a good husband.
No, not the to character. Any of his wives.
I don't know about the actual Tom Hardman.
Oh, I'm sure he's not as bad as that character.
Who knows?
That seems likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's an LOL misogynist. He's not a bad misogynist like the terrorist who slaps Tia Carrera around.
Oh. No.
See, you're supposed to laugh at his misogyny, and you're supposed to shake your finger at the terrorist misogyny.
I tell you what, Tia Carrera got slapped, I counted at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. But many, like, but some of those were from a woman, so it was okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was like, those are very convincing slaps.
Oh, yeah.
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 It was a little bit like, was that a real slap? Like, that did not feel like...
Her face didn't, like, turn red.
That's
though.
Fair. Well, she's wearing a lot of makeup.
That's true.
Wow.
And
that's okay.
Those slaps looked a lot more
real.
Wait,
what's okay? The makeup part?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I think it's fine.
Oh, okay. Great.
Or not. Don't. It's fine. Either way.
You're so liberated. Thank you. But I will say, those slaps look real, but what did not look real was the big kiss between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis's characters.
What do you mean?
When the nuclear bomb's going off?
Yeah, there's a nuclear
bomb. This movie rules.
I mean, obviously, there's a nuclear bomb going off in the background, and their faces are shielded, and they're doing a kiss, and it is such an awkward, weird kiss.
Sure.
I am not sure her lips were anywhere near... his mouth.
She was kind of strafing. She was like kind of side strafing.
Well, I don't blame her. Like, I think that's fine. And I think like, wow. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Dwayne The Rock Johnson have a similar kind of chaste kind of vibe.
Oh, yeah. Similar.
That sex can be happening around them and they themselves can be sexy, but they're not going to do sex.
I see.
Or kissing.
I see.
Very much.
Is it because it would look too weird?
Because of his giant body?
Yeah, because they're too big? Okay, yeah. I wonder about that. She's so small compared to
so
him.
So small.
And so maybe that's why you're like, their lips aren't touching because like she if they did, she would like be sucked
he
into
would absorb
his body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her body.
Her powers.
What? His body. Yeah.
I did appreciate that this movie did like, cause some, like we talked about in the first half, like sometimes the conceit of Arnold's character is ridiculous cause he's this massive Austrian man. I did appreciate that this movie at least acknowledged like this dude is huge. He lives in a world of paper. Like he can destroy anything at any time. Like there are a few moments where he just like, you know, when he was very mad and lost control, like he broke things so easily.
Just give me the goddamn page.
Yeah, and he just smashes a car window. We talked about how he crushes the binocular.
Yeah.
Oh, there was so much. There was a lot of glass breaking.
A lot of the dude, the main Aziz, after he like shot up the bathroom, like he chose to jump through a window.
Yeah.
That was part of his escape. Like he probably could have like pushed someone out and gone through the door, but no, he just jumped out that window.
And that glass broke so easily. I was like, if that had been tempered glass,
that would have been hilarious.
Also, why was the glass around the edge of the top of the building not made of sturdier stuff?
I don't know. It's like it was going fast. I don't know.
I just have to watch one of those, Mythbusters, right?
I mean, I suppose if you're building just like a barrier on like a rooftop pool, like no one's gonna be like, hey, are these graded to motorcycles going top speed at them?
But you would almost need a motorcycle to have like an ice pick at the end, right? Like it's really hard to break like even the glass of your car.
Mm-hmm. Let me present this to you though.
Okay.
He's a terrorist.
Oh, okay.
He knows how to break stuff.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
He
hates our freedom.
God damn it.
Glass is like freedom because you can...
You can break
it. You're free to see through it.
Okay, got it.
Nothing's...
But two-way glass means you really love your wife.
Yes.
Because you interrogate her and demand that she confess her love
when
for
I
you.
Interrogate my wife, it's a two-way window. So she can see me.
Sure, that's...
Because you respect her.
Yes, of course. I don't use a voice modulator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But my best friend is there next to me.
Asking crass questions about her sexuality. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Because I'm a wife guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess
Arnold.
Tom Arnold?
I guess Tom Arnold's whole thing is honestly to make Arnold Schwarzenegger look better by comparison, right?
But he also is right half the time.
At the same time, he's like almost his conscience.
Yeah.
Like he is the only one being like, this is actually a bad plan and we're not supposed to use these resources to track your wife.
You should try talking to your wife. Yeah. You should try being home.
Yeah. Like he's not wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just an asshole.
Yeah.
What's that from? Huh? You're not wrong. You're just an asshole. Is that Big Lebowski?
Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Walter. Yes. You're not wrong, Walter.
I see. Great.
Well, other people that aren't wrong are our listeners.
But are they assholes?
I can't say.
No, of course not.
Of course not. I mean, we already handled Fraud's question. Cars on ass. Arnold's response of, yes, but they were all bad.
Yeah.
After Helen asks if he's ever killed people, it lives in my head forever. Lines in True Lies stuck with you?
Oh, real quick. That is maybe the most USA number one line in the entire movie. It's just like, have you killed people? Yes, but they're all bad. Hey,
we're good.
Everybody's clean.
And he's on truth serum.
No so worries.
It's got to be right.
It's got to be right. Yeah.
And to be fair, the next person he kills, I think, is a bad person.
Sure.
I mean, his specialty is torture.
He's a tortured Dracula. So.
We're pretty sure he's a vampire, actually. Yeah.
He was comically. Yeah, I think the line that I really enjoyed this time was the, be quiet, Harry. I've got this. When they're both being dragged off.
It's so good.
She's so sweet because she thinks she's the spy and her husband is somehow unwitting. She hasn't put it all together
yet. It's incredible. Yep. She's so good in this movie and in general. In general, like she fucking crushes it so hard.
She does.
I mean, you're fired, obviously, classic.
Yeah. So many lines. I, as predicted about my own self, was saying a lot of lines like the movie.
Ken
can also confirm. Molly and I were both sitting on opposite sides of him on the couch.
And everyone enjoyed it. It added to everyone's
There
experience.
Was a point where he muttered something. I muttered, Jesus Christ. And then you said, I'll stop. And then I said, no, you won't.
And then I didn't stop.
No.
I believe it was, I can stop.
Oh, that's right.
No, you can't.
That's right. That's what it was.
I spent the entire movie screaming at it. So I can't really say much.
Yeah. During the entire illegal seizure of his wife, Molly was like yelling at the TV as if she had like, come across somebody abusing someone on the street. Yeah. Like she was hurling expletives at the TV and then apologizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To us, not to the TV.
Yeah, yeah. Our rating scale, as we all know, is Danpire.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is Dan and I's podcast Empire.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Danpire Empire.
Of podcasts, we have become vampires.
Yes.
And so after Totes Recall records, we stay up late.
Because I thought we started these other podcasts when everything else was dust.
Oh, that's right. Once Molly and Beth have turned to dust.
Yes.
And we have become vampires.
Yes.
We start podcasting. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the number of Danpires.
Yes.
Is the number of podcasts
that we do.
Yes.
Yep. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So it is like the level of ambition that we have as vampires.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Dan's go first in this house. Why don't we start with you also, Dan?
Thank you. Thank you for...
You suggested a 4 would be an appropriate rating. The action would rule, but the villains would bum you out.
Yes. The...
An apologetic 4.
An apologetic 4, yes. The villains actually bummed me out less than I was expecting. Like, yes, it was like very stereotypical, just like, oh, it's just Middle Eastern terrorists, which is so many movies. Yeah. But I was worried they would be like, it would just be like explicitly like antagonistic in terms of like the language of like our heroes and stuff, or like there'd be, I don't know. I feel like in more modern media, like they try to be more like ripped from the headline. So they will like actually just like pick a nationality or an ethnicity for like authenticity and then like do like no research at all and just create like an absolutely terrible stereotype. Whereas at least this, it was just sort of like, they just say he was a splinter cell of the other terrorist groups, and like they don't, I don't think, say where he's from originally.
I think at one point they said certain countries.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they never like say, you know what I mean? Like they don't like explicitly say like this, like Iraqi,
yeah,
like paramilitary. Yeah, like
they literally
group.
Say certain countries. Yeah. They didn't say, yeah, say, right. Yeah, specific ones.
Yeah. So like that, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like much more explicitly like anti Arab or something, just yeah. in the dialogue, because it was the 90s and who cared, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously people care a lot more. No, it's fine. You never see it. Anyway, it was not that, but I agree that the misogyny was worse than I remembered. But man, that action was so good.
So good.
Bill Paxton's I Pee in Myself face is one of the greatest exercises of acting I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I appreciated they left it. They didn't like... Like, I feel like whoever the director of Princess Diaries would have cut to the crotch to make sure we understood that sure. there had been pee. But yeah. I felt like this was very subtle. It was very nuanced.
Yeah, and all you needed was that face from Paxton. Oh, my God.
They probably canceled several shots they had planned for the rest
of the
day.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we saved enough money. We can actually do the you're fired scene. Thanks, Bill. We don't have to do coverage on the pee. And like, I don't think I've seen this in a long time, so I was not prepared for like how much Jamie Lee Curtis crushes it. But like she, I don't know, I felt like the entire third act of the movie, like all I could think of when she was just like doing all that shit in that dress is like, it was like that thing people always say, like, oh, Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did, but backwards and in heels. I felt it was the same thing with this, where it's like she's doing the same thing as Arnold, except he's in just like a half ripped dress shirt and slacks, and she's in this like very form fitting cocktail dress.
And she hasn't been training for 17 years.
Yeah. Well, I just mean even as an actor.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Like Arnold's just like, oh, just give me another shirt so it rips to show one of my incredibly chiseled pecs. Where she has to be in that cocktail dress the whole time.
And no shoes.
Mm-hmm. She's got a whip Tia Carrera in the face in that cocktail dress and a little limo.
Yeah. God, she whips fucking the shit out of Tia Carrera.
Yeah, it rules. She's so cool in this movie at every scene and every moment. Jamie Lee Curtis, MVP. Besides Jean-Claude, of course. Four, I guess, still? Yeah. I don't know. I kind of got into the weeds there for a second.
Yeah. Awesome. I accept.
Thank you.
Beth, you were thrilled by my optimism. Yeah. I gave it a 5.
Yeah. I thought there were lots of moments that were very funny, and I thought it was fun in many moments. And Jamie Lee Curtis is perfect in this movie. She's amazing. I don't know that it's like my favorite of these types of films. Mm. So I'm actually going to give it a 3.5.
Oh, wow. Mm.
It should be so lucky.
I forgot what the 0.5 is.
Solo show.
A solo episode.
Right. Yeah. Because okay. One of us is out hunting for blood.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. And then Jerwolf comes on as a guest.
Yes. Jerwolf. Yeah.
Our old friend Jerwolf. Yeah.
We can talk about the moon or whatever.
Whatever.
Ancient rivalry.
Whatever these werewolves like to talk about. Smell each other's crotches.
Uh-huh.
I was buoyed by Beth's buoyedness of me, and wow. I gave it a 5 as well. I loved it. Baba Booey. That's what I was saying. I don't know what that's about.
No one does. This is what our podcast would be like, by the way, listeners. But if you're like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. No, it's not.
Yeah, I loved it. The 90s action, so good. I miss this style of action movie. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it other than it's a lot of practical pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
And I guess Arnold Schwarzenegger. Very excited for that. The racism was as bad as I expected. As I said, the misogyny was worse than expected. So I'm gonna go down to a 4. It's also very long.
Very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was still in it to win it.
Nice.
Yes. Yep. 4.
I was not as in it, so I spent a little time on Wikipedia. We don't have to do the song. It's okay. I had that bummer update. Remember I said earlier I had the good one and the bad one? Yeah. So
those dogs die?
No. Oh, God. And I should just do a report every episode. Speaking on of great animal danger.
Choices in cuts.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a moment where Arnold Schwarzenegger has two Doberman Pinschers chasing him.
It's kind of funny.
And he expertly and confidently turns around and bashes the two dogs' heads together. And I was already ready to storm out. Yes. but he thoughtfully included a cut that just showed the two dogs kind of getting up with like almost like cartoon stars.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got that dog to look confused. But anyway, you got the idea that they had just been knocked around.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron.
Yeah. They were disoriented. They were not hurt.
Yes. The dogs are fine. The hundreds of nameless Middle Easterners, however.
Not fine. Yeah, just taken out by accident.
They were all bad guys.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. He definitely only kills bad guys.
Did not have families. Okay, so Eliza Dushku.
Heard of her.
Yep. Was 12 years old.
She played Arnold's daughter.
And she played like maybe a 14-year-old or something because she was like riding motorbikes, 14, 15.
Yeah.
The stunt coordinator, she accused the main stunt coordinator, who was like 37, of molesting her.
Oh, no.
That is a bummer. Everyone came to her, which is great. Like, everybody in the cast has come out.
Like, she did this at the time?
I think so, because, you know, she was doing some stunts at the end.
Right.
And he was supervising them. And during it, she fell and broke three of her ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
While he was supposed to be supervising. And this is after she had made the accusation. Which also, I'm like, when someone accuses you, the stunt coordinator.
Yeah.
You don't have them responsible for a 12-year-old safety.
Right.
No, it's get really a stunt coordinator. Up.
So it's actually pretty amazing to me that she stuck with it and appeared in Buffy and Bring It On and many other shows. So. It's a bummer, but I feel like I should mention it because, like,
I mean, it could have been a more of a bummer as most of these stories go.
Yeah, that's true. Where like nothing happens because after that, and then three other women came forward, and he basically did not work again.
Well, that's
which good. Is you know something.
Yep. So less of a bummer than it could have been.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Great.
I mean, but it also shows like standards at this point. It's like, oh, did something happen?
Yeah. Right.
So speaking of modern standards. what did I give this? A 4.5? I was buoyed by Beth. Yeah. Okay.
Not Dan, though.
Similar feelings. One is, though, I have to say, like, Jamie Lee Curtis as an actress and as this character had so much more depth and agency even than I remembered. And I remember that was the thing I liked about it the first time I saw it. Man, all of the dropping of the bitch word felt like very harsh to me because they were said with such emphasis. I realized like we don't do that anymore. Like people do. You know what? I'm not that naive, but I'm just saying like as
not
a,
as casually maybe.
Not as casually. Yeah.
Usually if you hear it, it's kind of a term of endearment. Like it's people saying, you know, saying it to their friends or something like that.
Yeah. But
if it is said with that, if it's said like with that sort of antagonism, now it's usually much more clear, like this is the bad person in the story.
Yep.
Yeah, for real. And like Tom Arnold's character, you could probably write a dissertation because he is like part Chimney Cricket conscience. And he's part antagonist, like dirtbag.
Yeah.
Also very good friend for supporting his buddy.
Sure.
But also a dirtbag. It was a little confusing and comedic relief.
Yep. He can do it all.
He can do it all.
Multifaceted.
Anyway, it just bothered me more in the, I don't know, modernize and all of that, 3.5.
Great.
Nice.
Another episode for the Jerwolf. All right.
Oh, is that Jetpat Dog?
Wow, I just came in on a Harrier jet.
Jetpack.
Jetpack plane. I'm Jetpack Dog.
Yes.
The moral of this episode is don't be so disrespectful to women or people of other nationalities.
Great.
Wow. Thanks, Jetpack Dog.
You're welcome. Hey, watch out. Turbo Dog's right behind me and he's been brandishing knives.
Oh, no.
No. Hey, guys. It's Turbo Dog.
Oh, hey, Turbo Dog.
I've been smoking cigarettes.
That's so probably not great.
I sound like this now.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, are you trying to quit? It's probably not a great idea to keep doing it.
Well, it's harder than you think.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Anyway, I gotta go deal with some stuff.
Okay. Hey, can I have those knives?
See you later.
Oh, no.
It is so extra hard for dogs to quit because they can't chew that nicotine gum.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, and the patches don't stick to their fur.
Because of the fur, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
They don't have the lip mobility to smoke well either.
How dare you?
Hey, listen, that extra flap can really just surround.
If a dog can ride a jetpack, a dog can smoke.
Yeah.
That's the lesson.
Hi, Turbo Dog, I'm back.
Oh, hey.
I just want to tell you, actually, the moral of the story, the moral of this podcast is that if, what was it? If a dog can ride a horse.
Yep, keep going.
A dog can smoke.
Great job, Turbo Dog.
My memory is not.
Oh, what are you even smoking? Oh, no.
Oh, it's me again. Jetpack Dog.
Hey.
Oh, no. We got to get Turbo Dog to a facility.
I smell toast.
Oh, no. The dogs are fine. James Cameron shows a scene where the two dogs are fine. It's fine. Turbo Dog gets into rehab and is turning his life around. A Jetpack Dog officiates his wedding a year later.
Well,
I don't want to wait for us to be over. Jetpack Dog and Turbo Dog are friends.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.